I'm David Miller, executive producer of Market to Market. Your feedback helps us a lot. Send us your questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org. Now, here's the Market Analysis Podcast.
This is the Friday, February 21, 2020 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The commodity markets chopped around, waiting for news from the Outlook Forum, and then a Friday morning tweet from the president was added into the mix. For the week, May wheat bumped up 11 cents and the nearby corn contract lost a penny. The May soybean contract fell 4 cents as Chinese buying failed to materialize and South American prices continued to be more attractive. May meal dropped $1.80 per ton. May cotton rose 59 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, March Class 3 milk futures lost 38 cents. The livestock sector finished mixed. April cattle shed $2.08. April feeders added 72 cents. And the April lean hog contract put on 273. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index rose 19 ticks. April crude gained $1.12 per barrel. COMEX gold skyrocketed $59.80 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index added more than 3 points to finish at 420. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Sean Hackett. Sean, welcome back.
It's always great to be here, Paul. Real good.
So we have this tweet, and it comes less than 24 hours after the Secretary of Ag said there won't be another round of MFP. Then the president says this. What the markets initially bounced higher, and then they turned red on Friday. What are we supposed to take from these two conflicting stories moving forward?
It's been the continued trend of the Trump administration where one hand's not talking to the other hand, and it seems that the president gets very impulsive with what he wants versus what supposedly his secretaries are doing, and so it just creates massive confusion, and markets just don't know what to do. And you said choppy markets, chopping around, up and down. What are you supposed to make of a president that says one thing and a Secretary of Ag, who's supposed to know exactly what's going on, saying something else? It just puts uncertainty at a time when we have plenty of uncertainty to be dealing with.
Wheat was hit particularly hard on Friday, but this market has been looking as Chinese interest has come in. But the 90-day weather forecast is cool and wet. What's playing into this market?
Well, the wheat market had a big rally because Russia had two bad crops in a row. Their exports are way down. Export prices started to take off. But then all of a sudden, we had this capital flight coming into the U.S. dollar. And because wheat is such a global market, when that dollar starts to take off, we start to become very quickly uncompetitive. And if you look at the dollar rise just in the last week, week and a half, the wheat market has fallen pretty precipitously in direct reverse correlation to that. So we really think this is a very highly correlated currency move than anything else.
We'll get into currency in a moment, but the dollar almost up 2.75-year highs. So you're saying that's weighing some of the hardest on wheat?
It is, because you know, when you're dealing with corn or soybeans, it's us in South America, and it's not as broad. But with wheat, we have Australia, we have Russia, we have the Ukraine, we have the U.S. It's such a broad, you know, base of production that the dollar has a disproportionate effect on U.S. wheat prices when the dollar gets going.
We're making 11-cent gain on the week. Are you making sales yet?
On soft red winter wheat, we want to be making some sales. We really do. Our smart money algorithm that we measures capital flows is heavily bearish, and we're starting to move up into the upper end of the trading range that has been pretty hard to get through, and we don't think it will get through this time.
Corn has been a major story. Coming out of the forum, again, more acres. We're looking at 94 million acres, and we keep looking at this. There is too much corn. Is there?
Well, I mean, our corn stocks are way down from last year. We did have a small crop last year, but if we do plant 94 or 95 million acres of corn and we have the demand base that we do, the USDA is projecting 2.5 billion, maybe 3 billion bushels of corn. That's a really tough number to get through, and so we need something to change that up. Either acres don't get planted like last year, or some kind of weather comes into South America or the U.S., but right now, so long as that's the forecast, corn's going to struggle here.
All right. So do you sell now before it goes lower?
I think you have to get some on the books now, Paul. I mean, our forecast is a little bit different than the one you mentioned earlier. We actually see an early start to the planting season this year, early spring, some really dry, actually, conditions in the middle of the spring. What it means is record early planting, record planting pace, and we know what that means. It could be mean even more corn acres than the 94, 95 million. And so we were really worried that the corn market could kind of nosedive like it did last year, but for an entirely different reason. So we would get some on the books here.
All right, so a lot of acres going to corn. Is it coming from soybeans? I'll get your take on that in a moment. But the other thing that's playing in the soybean market right now, Sean, is this story with the Brazilian real. And we got our first question that we're going to use. This one came via Twitter. Bradley in Upland, Nebraska, he's asking, how much cheaper can the Brazil real get?
We are at all-time record lows. So the answer is we have really no idea how far it could go because there's no other point on the chart that says it'll go here.
And so what does that mean then for soybeans for us here in the U.S.?
It just means we are going to continue to struggle. We talked about the price difference, South America being more competitive than U.S. price. The worse the real weakens, the more it makes that, you know, that price differential more difficult to compete with.
All right. Are we making sales short-term, long-term here?
We have it. We're pretty constructive on grains beyond the next couple of months, so we don't think this is a time to sell it all and be done with it for the year. We want to get some on the books, get some done. I don't think anyone wants to endure what we think is going to be a pretty tough spring, but we think there's light at the end of the tunnel as we get beyond that, and we want to save some powder dry for some late spring, early summer sales.
Save an opportunity if there is some type of blip, whether it's a weather problem here. Is that what you're saying?
We think it's going to be a weather problem here. We think it's going to be more of a drought-like conditions in the mid-late spring that's going to make early planted grains compromised and have the market who'd be trading early planting makes grain say, wait a minute, now all these early planted acres are not going to maybe be as good as we thought. We have to recalibrate. And so we think we're going to get a similar V kind of a pattern when we come out of that, and that gives us our opportunity to get a weather rally going like last year and get a chance to sell.
All right, acreage battle. Cotton's always figured into that. Yeah. Cotton up this week, but it's wet in the South right now.
Yeah, the South is very, very wet. Already the USDA has dialed down, you know, cotton acres. So if the weather remains, you know, that wet and that unfavorable, the cotton acres are going to be tough to bring in. We, however, just because of what we just said with the grain markets, corn probably getting hit, soybeans coming down, we think that cotton could look a little better, you know, a month from now than it looks today. Obviously, it's always a moving target, but we're not so sure that we're not going to put some acres in, especially in the state of Texas, where we think the weather won't be quite as daunting as it is in the Deep South.
They're growing cattle in Texas as well. We know today the cattle on feed report came out of placement was 99% of what was expected. That's below the estimate there, but we also had another number at 102.1.
Yeah, I mean, the cattle on feed was pretty close to what everyone was looking for. The placement was certainly off. When you look at the whole report, I don't think it's going to take the cattle market away from what it's really focused on right now, which is the canora virus and demand issues, especially from Japan. We've seen some pictures that Japan, some cities, some areas that are supposed to be bustling are really, really quiet because people are worried and just being, you know, staying inside, even though it does, you know, the virus isn't proliferating there as it did in China. But worried, you know, the cattle market's worried about that because without Japanese demand, that's a big hit.
Well, then there was a story this week that said maybe the Chinese are starting to kick the tires on beef, U.S. beef or pork. Which one's going to win out here?
Well, we think pork will win out. We think that in the end of the day, you know, they have always eaten pork. That is their lifeline. That is their cultural meat to eat. And when we look at pork prices in China making new record highs this week because of the supply shortages getting worse because nobody can feed any animals, nobody can get product anywhere, we have to believe they're going to find a way at least to get U.S. pork into their country.
But there was a story this week that the sow herd monthly increased again for the fourth consecutive month. So there is some rebuilding.
Well, and remember, we supposedly got a story that an African swine fever vaccine has been found. You know, it has to be a little more verified. We have to get a little more ducks in a row, but it does appear it could be available near the end of the year. And I would imagine some Chinese producers are, you know, starting to get a little more confident that they can get some investment going, get some herd growth going, because they're going to have a vaccine that's going to save the day for them.
So is that the reason to make a sale in hogs right now?
We don't think it's the right time to make sale in hogs right now. We think that there's more upside to go. We don't feel there's going to be a supply response until 2021. We think this year is still going to be a big shortage, and the U.S. is going, if the trade deal has any value whatsoever, the U.S. is going to have their day to get a price move here. So we would be patient on hogs. We wouldn't jump the gun just quite yet.
And I did kind of skip over feeders, and that number that I gave you, 102.1, was on feed. So we are still seeing more animals go into the lot.
We are, and beef production in the second quarter is going to be up significantly, beef production in the U.S. from the first quarter. But the other thing we do want to kind of let everybody know that the drought has broken in Australia. Flooding rains there, and their cattle price has gone parabolic. And so the imports that we usually bring in from Australian beef in the second quarter, we feel is going to completely dry up. So that's going to help counterbalance some of this extra supply. So it's a mixed bag, but we don't think it's doom and gloom at this point.
Well, the Australian story, though there was some improvement after the wildfires, they all of a sudden had a whole lot of rain, but then that also impacts the wheat market. But you're saying the beef market is going to be a little more impacted there.
Absolutely. I mean, people don't realize how much Australian beef we import into this country, and without that beef coming in, it's going to really tighten up the lower end of the market, which, you know, on the margin is going to be pretty positive as we move into grilling season. If we're correct that the spring season is going to start early, that means we're going to get some extra demand this year that we didn't get last year when it was cold and wet all the way into late June.
So the early spring that you're referring to, that means I'm going to be grilling sooner.
Absolutely.
And have an opportunity to eat through some of that supply.
Yeah, and that's positive. I mean, on the margin, that will really help sop up some of the supply that's out there.
So we have these mergers going on in the dairy industry. Dean Foods going to be purchased by Dairy Farmers of America. Usually those don't have a major impact on the market.
They really haven't, Paul. I've never really noticed them to have huge impacts. I mean, it's a great big story, but not really to the markets.
So what is moving dairy down again here this week?
Well, I mean, the canora virus and the lost demand from China is a huge deal, especially for the milk powder. The other thing is that we're moving into a better production part of the season. The spring flush, they call it, the seasonal strong production for the U.S. Our production, we just got production numbers this week that were up almost 1%. That is too much milk for this time of the year, and so we're starting to rebuild those cheese stocks that got drawn down last year when farmers didn't have any money to produce. So we think that trend could continue into the spring before it bottoms out.
And we just have to kind of eat more cheese.
We have to eat a lot more cheese, which I think we'll try to do.
All right, we're going to talk $7 corn with Sean Hackett in Market Plus in just a moment. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you so much, Paul.
That will do it for this edition of Market to Market. But as I mentioned, we will keep that conversation, talk to Sean about Market Plus, and he'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at markettomarket.org. That's where we post a whole lot of things. Also links to our Twitter, and that allows us to stay in the loop with just a few characters, the Twitter bird is, that is. We share news, pictures, and behind-the-scenes information on our feed of @MarketToMarket. Join us again next week when we'll explore how a diverse set of Western stakeholders are seeking common ground on public lands. So until then, thanks for watching and have a great week.